Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Let's pause for a moment and recall that in the middle of a hot summer, 45 years ago, President Richard Nixon announced that the United States would be breaking a promise that would shock the global economy to its core.
I have directed Secretary Connally to suspend temporarily the convertibility of the dollar into gold or other reserve assets, except in amounts and conditions determined to be in the interest of monetary stability and in the best interest of the United States. In full cooperation with the International Monetary Fund and those who trade with us, we will press for the necessary reforms to set up an urgently needed new international monetary system.
What? The U.S. dollar would no longer be convertible? The promise that the U.S. dollar was convertible into gold at a fixed $35 an ounce rate, and that's a joke, that's another story, was what had underlaid the stability of the post-war global economy. But now, it had succeeded too well. The broken nations of the U.K., France, Germany, and especially Japan had bounced back by 1971. This Nixon shock, as it was called, had a 90-day freeze on wages and prices to control inflation. It was also the end of giving all those nations the advantages that they'd enjoyed since the 1940s. This Nixon move established the system of oversight and convertibility we know now, and which is now, in a certain sense, crumbling. Douglas Irwin is professor of economics at Dartmouth College. He says this came directly out of Nixon's famous penchant for secrecy and springing surprises on the American electorate and the world.
Well, it was hatched in secret. President Nixon, who was very worried about leaks to the press and to other countries, told his advisors on Thursday afternoon, prepare to go in secret to Camp David on Friday. And that weekend, we're going to hatch our plan and spring it on the world economy on Sunday night in a nationally televised address.
And that yanked the carpet out from underneath the whole Bretton Woods agreement, which set up the post-war economic order.
It really was sort of the end of the Bretton Woods system, which was set up in New Hampshire in 1944, right after World War II. And what that mandated was fixed exchange rates between countries. So other countries would fix the value of their currency in terms of the dollar. And supposedly the dollar was backed by gold. So foreign central banks could exchange their dollar reserves for U.S. gold in Fort Knox.
And when did that start giving advantages to other nations like the U.K. and Germany that were politically sensitive, or West Germany at that time, were politically sensitive to Richard Nixon, that he thought of doing this shock in secret at Camp David?
Early on in the post-war period, the U.S. had very large trade surpluses, and one could argue that the dollar was undervalued. But increasingly, the U.S. had a rising rate of inflation, and the dollar became overvalued relative to other currencies. And we started running a trade deficit. 1971, we had the first trade deficit since the 1930s. And this is viewed as a big problem. The dollar was misaligned relative to those other currencies. Other countries didn't want to change their exchange rates. So what the Nixon administration did was say, okay, you can't exchange your dollars for gold anymore, and we want you to revalue, that is, increase the price of your currencies relative to the dollar.
And so since that time, all the currencies of Europe and the United States and Japan have floated.
That's right. So through the 50s and 60s, most exchange rates were fixed. They only changed on occasion if there was a big problem. They tried to patch together these fixed exchange rates for another year or so, but then countries gave up. And basically, we have, as you mentioned today, floating exchange rates. The value changes of the dollar every day on foreign exchange markets. Some countries continue to fix to some extent, or at least intervene a lot. But we've certainly departed from what we had after World War II with fixed exchange rates.
But, you know, in all of our condemnation of Richard Nixon and his secrecy and his illegality and all the things he did behind closed doors, this was a good one in hindsight. Yes.
Moving to floating exchange rates relieved a lot of the problems we had at the time. So, yes, that was a good thing. Now, the wage and price controls, which were announced at the same time, that didn't work out so well.
The exchange rate that Nixon established, this whole system that Nixon established on some level with many, many changes since 1971, is part of what's changing today with the China's entrance into the world economy and other things going on with the euro. Is that correct, or is it really, again, we're way, way beyond 1971?
No, you're correct. It's really, whenever governments fix exchange rates, there's going to be some controversy about whether they've hit the right target. for the past 10, 15 years or so, a lot of people have alleged that China has deliberately undervalued its currency to give its exporters a competitive advantage. And of course, we've seen with the euro fixing exchange rates across the different European countries, that's led to big problems too with Greece and Spain and Italy. And so whenever governments fix exchange rates, there's bound to be political controversy and there's bound to be economic problems that follow.
Douglas Irwin is professor of economics at Dartmouth College. Thank you so much, Douglas.
You're welcome.